Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. My name is Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 90s. The radio station is KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. And today's topic is an extremely metaphysical issue. It is called Analyzation of the Human Aura and Trying to Identify the Spirit of a Human Being. So we're going to take a look at different levels of consciousness reflected by people on Earth, people that may have trouble with their spirit and reflecting it, and how to recognize people in spiritual trouble. You know, relationships are difficult and tough enough as it is. Many of us that live on Earth take for granted that we're dealing with human beings, with real people, with flesh and blood. Not so. Not always the case. Just because they have a body, eyes, nose, mouth, teeth, hair, face, fingers, toes, whatever, does not mean they're human. And I know that this topic and these issues may seem a little far out, and for some of you, maybe you might feel like tuning out, but the rest of you are going to cuddle right up to your radio right now and listen really closely and scramble for that cassette to throw it into the deck, because you know I'm going to talk about something very fascinating today, which is an issue that I love tremendously. Do you know why? This issue of trying to identify human spirit, to see if there's a person inside there. And, you know, we'll discuss some of the options and the alternatives of what else might be in there if there wasn't a human being in there, is that we actually assume that we're dealing with people that are normal, spiritually normal. We really don't know what's out there, and we really are not aware that there are several numerous possibilities that may exist as far as what we're dealing with or who we're talking to or who we're living with or who we're married to or dating or loving or hugging in a spiritual sense. I'll give you an example here. If you ever read some of the Ruth Montgomery books when she talked about walk-ins, well, I have my own philosophy of walk-ins, a walk-in spirit, which means that I believe that several souls can attach themselves with their silver cords to one physical body, several souls, even 10. And while the other souls are in the astral plane, sleeping, or in the higher self, doing whatever, one soul at a time would live the life of that body. And then when it was finished using that body may go through a life or death situation or some kind of dramatic experience in their life, like a major relationship, divorce, or health crisis. And then the one soul, the silver cord would be cut, they would go on into the light or wherever. And then soul number two, the second soul that would be originally attached to the body prior to birth, would walk in. You see? And I do believe that even though many of us do have a one soul per body situation, that there are a heck of a lot of people out there that have multi-soul connections to one body. And that may have a lot to do with this multiple personality situation when it's not possession, you know, when it's not somebody that's dealing with negative entities, that just happen to have many souls attached to their body. I firmly believe that if there is a multi-soul situation attached to a body or a walk-in situation, I firmly believe that one soul dominates that body until its life course is finished and its silver cord is cut. Once that is cut, then I believe the second soul, through cooperative situations prior to life, comes in, takes over, and then starts living that life. When that silver cord is cut, and that soul goes on, then the next soul that's attached to that body may come in. See, so I believe there may be up to 10 souls attached to one body. In fact, I believe it's very possible that I may be the second or third soul that's been inside of Farley Malaris. I mean, it's very possible. It's drastic, and if you've seen pictures of me in my life, I look very different. So it's very possible that some of the lifestyle changes I've made and choices I've made and some of the value judgments that I've metamorphosized in my life maybe the result of that. See, so what I'm trying to tell you today, that oftentimes when we try to make relationships work, not just love relationships, I'm talking about maybe even just getting along with your mother or your father or your sister or your brother or your best friend if you're not aware of this multi-soul theory, this multi-soul option, and they should happen to have a tragic situation where almost overnight, they have the same memories, they're still dealing with the same brain, but because they're a different soul, they may have a different set of karma. I actually also believe that if you have a walk-in experience or a rebirth where you do feel very different from one day to the next, that you should be aware of that date, that time, and that city that that occurs, and you could cast a supplemental natal chart for the rebirth experience. You know, the natal chart for the body is still good for the life of the body, but if you actually are one of these second souls or third souls in a connected multi-soul situation, a walk-in situation, some people will tell you that a walk-in is a soul that just takes over a body after another soul leaves it. Well, I don't go along with that. What I have found to be true, the soul must be connected to that body with a silver cord. See, so if there definitely is a walk-in situation metaphysically, in my mind, logically, there would have to be many souls connected to that baby right when it's conceived. The silver cord has to be attached, so there may be a dozen silver cords attached, but that's where a walk-in would come from. Now, in the other sense, when we talk about dark entities or negative entities that have not gone into the light, that are stuck in a limbo plane situation, a purgatory, which is the dimension that is right parallel to Earth, except it is a non-physical realm. It is a spirit realm, and they see us, and they hear us, and they feel us, and everything, but we don't see or hear or feel them. And the only contact they can have with us is in case we allow ourselves to be vulnerable spiritually, which a lot of us do because we're not into spiritual self-defense or reinforcing our spiritual auras, our love, our light, our godliness. So these dark souls, these lost souls, not dark ones, but some of them are just lost souls that didn't know about going into the light. Some of them are atheists. Some of them are still hooked on this lifetime. They haven't been able to let go. If you go see Ghost, it's got an excellent representation of people trapped in limbo, like Patrick Swayze was, because he refused to go into the light when he was offered that because he wasn't finished. You know, he felt that he needed to find out about his violent death, how it happened. He still loved his woman. So even when he died, he was still there in a ghost form, and he tried to contact and communicate with his girlfriend and his friends to figure out what had happened to him and to help actually seek revenge and also to serve grace upon himself to allow him to qualify to go back into the light again. See, just because you're in limbo, that's another life situation. You still have to serve grace in that state in order to qualify for another light opening, for you to get out of that realm into a higher realm. So what you could be dealing with when you're dealing with people is, A, you may be dealing with a pure spirit. Now let's say that you're trying your whole life to get along with your father, all right? And let's say that your father is totally agnostic to any of this stuff in this topic today, knows nothing about it, couldn't care less, doesn't really wonder or worry much about God, is focused on money and power and gambling and vice and TV and movies and food and all the earthly delights. But let's say that you understand and respect and embrace this topic for the first time, this issue, which means that A, if you take a look at any one human being that you might be dealing with in any situation, whether it's your father or your mother or anyone, there's a slim chance that they may actually be a pure spirit, which means that they're clean, they're sober, they're loving, their self-esteem is checked, they have good compassion, they have strong humanitarianism, they believe and understand and embrace the God concepts and the messianic principles, and they're able to reflect love and light and accept it, and they're positive and they're confident, and they're people that are on the edge of life. They really shouldn't even be here. It's like people that are pure spirits are real close. It's like a ripe apple. I know everybody out there is striving to be a pure spirit, but once you really get to that purity state, oftentimes grace is served upon you, and you are given the option, whether you're conscious or asleep, to reach the edge of life. The musical group Kansas has a song called The Wall, which talks about, to me, is the edge of life, which is a choice that highly evolved beings that are very spiritual can reach in a state of grace, where they have a choice of either waking up in the morning or not. They can just turn it off and go into the light, and then they're out of here. So when you become that spiritual, when you become that pure spirit and you are in touch with the edge of life like that, and you understand how easy it is to walk away from this, you don't have to go through the pain of death or the pain of anxiety or suffering or torture like other people. Well, you know, that's why you don't see a whole lot of pure spirits around. Because when people reach a level of purity like that, you might hear rumors or gossip about Farley, how my heroes are like Indiana Jones and James Bond, maybe Hugh Hefner or whatever. You know, I'm the type of guy that I'm spiritual in the one sense, but in the other sense, I'm really human. I have my needs, my loves, my lusts, my desires, my cravings. Well, that could be what keeps me here, you see? So on the one hand, you could be dealing with someone that is a pure spirit. On the other hand, you could be dealing with someone that is a multi-soul, whereas they would change drastically from one time to the next. Whereas your father might have been real loving and caring and giving lately, for the first 10 or 15 or 20 years of your life, you might have felt tortured or abused by him. Well, see, your father might be a multi-soul, where the first soul that wasn't really friendly with you moved on, the cord was cut, and this next soul coming in is much more closer to you, much more bonded to you, less karmic. That's what I call absolving karma. When you absolve karma, sometimes you allow one soul in a multi-soul situation to pass on and let the walk-in soul that's really friendly for you to come in. There may only be two souls per body. Now, when I use the number 10, that's being kind of hypothetical. The third possibility here, the first being the pure spirit, which is really hard level to get to because then you're at the edge of life and you could die. And then there's the multi-soul, which is the person that could have a serious, severe personality change and emotional change. And then there's the possessed person, the person that is agnostic to spiritual ideas and religion and God, totally vulnerable, no defenses at all, and their behavioral patterns in their life symptomatically reveal, if you get one too many entities, ghosts, that are in limbo. Let's say that you're somebody that smokes, for example, and I don't want you smokers to get scared here, but if you smoke and there's people out there that have died of lung cancer, and they're so addicted to smoking that instead of going into the light, they stayed on Earth because they don't understand the reincarnation cycle, and their growth isn't as such to let them go into the light, so they stay here, but they want a cigarette, and they can't find any. There are no cigarettes in limbo, but they can find people that smoke, or little children, or teenagers that don't smoke, and try to encourage them to get into that drug habit. Remember that? You ever seen that billboard that says cigarettes are dope? It's true. And then they attach themselves to the heart chakra of that child. And I've known people to have 7 or 8 or 9 smoking entities in them. Let's say if you smoke a pack and a half or 2 packs or 3 packs a day. And obviously this person is far away from a pure spiritual state. You know, frankly, most people you will meet, unless they have a meditative lifestyle, unless they have constant exercising of aura protection, where they're able to have high self-esteem and high self-love and a godly messianic quality of vibration inside their bodies, most people you will meet that are not pure spirits, whether they're multi-souls or not, will have some hitchhikers on board. They will have at least 1 or 2 entities that have not gone into the light. They're not really bad people, but that are people that are somehow lost and lonely, and their only expression of life is to leech on to your heart or your lungs or your stomach because they might like to eat or they might like to smoke or they might latch onto your spleen, which is very close to your liver because they like to drink. And obviously, you can actually see the different levels of possession by seeing how bad someone's life is. Obviously, if someone has a severe drug problem, then that's a symptom of being possessed by drug entities, maybe 8 or 9 of them. If someone has a severe cigarette problem, then they may have 7 or 8 cigarette smokers attached to their soul. These are not people who have cords attached. These are people that you can exorcise out of the body. But don't you understand the difference between being raised by a parent who's a pure soul, or at least close to it, and a parent who has an addictive behavior? You know, addictions run a wide range. You could have a TV entity inside of you that loves television, or a movie entity inside of you that loves going to movies. If you're addicted to anything at all in this life that's not spiritual, then that could say a lot about what type of energy you have inside of your body that might be keeping you from being the pure spirit. Now, the interesting part of this topic, the very fascinating part of this entire issue of spiritual identification, is that I have found that if people allow themselves to get too many entities in their bodies, right? Let's say you got someone that smokes cigarettes, that drinks alcohol, that does drugs, that's hooked on TV, that's hooked on movies, hooked on promiscuous, just unrequited love and sexual relationships, and someone that hates themselves, low self-esteem, someone that has a hateful temperament, an irritable, explosive emotional behavior, and prone to violence and danger. When we start approaching 9 or 10 entities, are 11 entities that are of a limbo quality, the body is so racked with being vulnerable to soul interference that that's when I notice that what I call a level one demon, which would be a dark entity, a dark soul from the lower realms of a very highly evolved nature, an entity that does not like living in the Hades realm, can pierce that realm psychically and take over a human being on Earth that is vulnerable to its seduction, to its temptation. And what happens is that level one demon can come in, blow out the 10 entities, and completely take over that person's life. When you get to a point where you're going beyond just having some limbo purgatory level entities inside of you, and you start getting a level 1 up to level 15 demon in you, you know, Adolf Hitler was a guy who I would have to say, as an Antichrist symbol, would definitely have a level, what I would call level 15 demon, taking over his body to turn the earth into a living hell. You know, this is obviously a being from another dimension, another realm, where it's not very nice to be. So, and I don't want to scare anybody with this stuff. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to throw some thoughts out, some words out, some vibrations out for you to think about, because what I'm trying to tell you is the person that you love in your life might not be who you think they are anymore. We have a bad habit because of our conditioning, because of our environment, because of our religions, because of our culture, to try really hard to help people and love people that are in our lives, like our parents, like our children. But what would happen if you were raised in a family situation by an individual that was completely taken over by one of these dark entities? I love the Exorcist trilogy, you know, the movies Exorcist 1, 2, and 3. People laugh at that stuff, but you see, I believe in that. In other words, a lot of my friends are into exorcism and this entity interference. We unto ourselves have proven a significant, serious problem with our planet. It's a reason why a lot of people are not in a level of pure spiritual grace. It's a reason why we do have a lot of bad habits and why we are seduced and tempted into lots of negative energy in our life. And it's a reason why a lot of people are literally taken over by these invaders. It's like invaders from another dimension. It's really fascinating stuff. This is a vital issue. Now, I'll tell you why. If you're living in a family situation as a child, and you're being raised by someone who you think is your father, but is someone that has really opened themselves up to so much negative energy in their life, and the symptoms are that they're filled with anger, they're filled with pain, they've had tons of surgery, they're filled with hostility and jealous and vindictiveness, and they really don't know much about love. You're not really one to judge that, but you just, from like an objective situation, you're looking at this person in comparison to everyone else you know, and they're not really a loving being. It's like, how are you supposed to love someone that doesn't love themselves enough to try to strive to being a pure spirit? How are you supposed to do that? You hear what I'm saying? I mean, like, some of the reasons why we need to process people out of our lives with a blessing and pray for them and hope for them is sometimes they may need that trauma, that shock. You know, if there's a hope for them to break through the core of negativism, and perhaps if they are affected by negative entities, if there's hope for them to rise above that, then maybe not having to control you or dominate you or yell at you or manipulate you anymore could be part of the shock that is needed. And that's why in the 12-step program, of course, which I'm not really totally familiar with, but I am sure that sometimes they say that when you use drugs or alcohol, you'll either bottom out. The choices are, I believe, if you're a drug addict or an alcoholic, is that you'll either bottom out and everyone and every person in your life will abandon you and you'll end up on the street, or you'll die, or you'll go to jail. Now, obviously, jail is filled with people that are possessed by all different levels of demons. If you want to visit hell, then that's the closest thing I could think of on earth. Jail and hospitals are mental wards. Would be filled with people that have been totally taken over. In a psychological standpoint, psychologists might not agree with that, but in a metaphysical standpoint, as far as I'm concerned, it's a truth. If someone would take another human life, if someone would get involved with the lust and the passion, the bloodlust of taking another person's life and enjoying it, then there is no trace of humanity left in that individual that would kill. And the problem with this planet is that we leave millions and millions of our children open and vulnerable to first the entities coming in and destroying their lifestyle and their bodies with all this poison, and then when they get up to 10 or more entities in there, well, that's when the body is so racked with vulnerability that one of those demons can come in and just take over and be total hostile. Now, like I say, I myself, I guess, am geared that I can only take so much anger and so much hostility and so much emotionalism and so much irritation from an individual. People start yelling and screaming around me like a demon, and I'm gone. Because I'm a peaceful guy down deep, and I don't like all that negativism. And to me, you know, the yelling and screaming on a regular basis is a symptom of a possessed being. Now, what would be wrong with you if you tried to love someone that had this energy in their bodies? So what does that do to your life? Well, obviously, being so close to this individual would leave you now vulnerable to negative entities and negative elements coming into your life, like a demon. We start at level one with people that are just what I'd call badasses. We start going to level two and higher. Then you get into murderers, thieves, rapists, arsonists. You start getting into real heavy crimes to humanity. Serial killers. These are people where there's no more trace of spirit. But you see, your own father, your own mother, your own brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, your kids could be like that. We all take for granted that we're here with people. That's what the whole purpose of this topic was, spiritual identification. But like I said at the very beginning, you're either going to be dealing with A, the occasional pure spirit, who, like I said, when you get to that level, you oftentimes are offered the edge of life choice, because once you reach a pure spiritual state, you're offered a chance to stay here and teach, like I've chosen to do, or you can just walk off the wall and go beyond. I had an edge of life choice last night in my sleep. I called up a couple of my really close friends. One of them called me, and I called another, much closer than friends, and I told them. I said, you know what? I had a chance to leave last night. I was there. I was on the edge. I don't say that I'm perfect, and I don't claim to be pure of spirit, but I know that I could have left if I wanted to last night in my sleep, and I just didn't feel like it because there's too much to do down here. I'm being beckoned to be down here and help. So instead of leaving gracefully in my sleep, last night I stayed. And the people I talked to, they were really, you know, intense about that. They were like kind of nervous and frightened when I told them that. Because maybe down deep they thought, wow, Farley, you had a chance to qualify and just ascend and beat the pain and go. Leave the bag of bones and get out. But people are too important to me. I love people. I want to help them. And I understand a lot of these issues about the pure soul, the multi-soul, and the possessed being. And I want to tell you that 95% of the people out there have at least 8 entities or more, and maybe 10 to 20% of the people out there are possessed by demons from the lower realms. And you're just banging your head against the wall when you are trying to have a communion or a relationship or a love vibration with these people that are taking over. It's best to let them go and leave them alone and pray for them and bless them, and walk off. It's very simple for me. I either say to myself, this person is either a pure spirit, or they're trying to be a pure spirit, or they just had a walk-in, B, right? Or C, they're possessed. And then if they are possessed, the question is, how many entities do they have? Does it look like they have 4 or 5 or 6? Do they smoke? Do they drink? Do they use drugs? Are they angry? Are they hostile? Are they racked with pain in their bodies? Has the temple of their soul been damaged? And then maybe if they have 9 or 10, and they start exuding criminal behavior, lying, cheating, stealing, killing, manipulating, larcenous behavior, well, then you're talking demonology. That's right, it's a science, demonology. Something I don't really like to talk about that much because it's frightening, but it's real. I love this kind of stuff. I mean, down deep inside of my soul, more than an astrologer, more than a metaphysician, exorcism, you know, and helping people become true, pure spirits is what I'm all about. That's what I've been striving to be my whole life. I feel I have been possessed, and I feel that I have had walk-in experiences. I might be the second soul, and I feel that I have thrown off elements. I used to smoke, and I used to drink, and I've tried some substances, and I was an angry, hostile individual. I had all the symptoms, and I was racked with pain and illness. I'm fine now, thank God. I don't smoke. I don't abuse anything, and I love myself. I try to protect the temple of God, the body. And I try to keep myself pure and help others ascend to that pure state. So last night when I had my purple plate vision, my vivid experience with the edge of life scenario, and I was offered the state of grace experience of just leaving, I said no. I decided to stay and one more day, another day, and do this topic for you and share it with you. Because I feel it's important, because it's information that I have taken from the other side to deliver to you to show you what I believe to be true about life. And, you know, I'm so excited about this topic today, spiritual identification,